Well, let's start our coverage of the federal budget this morning with the federal treasurer, Wayne Swan. Joe Hockey joining me shortly, and of course, your calls right through the morning, 1300 222 774. Wayne Swan, good morning to you.
Good morning, John.
To enhance the Gillard government's prospects of re-election, isn't the greatest contribution that you can make to resign?
Well, John, this isn't a budget that's about our prospects of re-election. It's
of
a budget about
is.
The country. No, it's not. It's a budget that's about the country, getting the economic settings right to support jobs and growth and making the smart investments for the future.
But your credibility is in tatters. Well, everything you've said, John, in previous years has turned out to be not just wrong, but ridiculously, massively wrong. And if the Gillard government is to have any chance of being re-elected, maybe you should resign and they can go with someone else's economic projections future.
Well, let's just go through a few economic projections, John. 950,000 jobs in the time we've been in power. An economy 13% larger than we had before the global financial crisis.
A $19 billion
deficit. So that's a pretty good economic outcome. Well, there is a deficit this year, and we will come back to surplus, but we'll do it as we support jobs and growth, and we fund for the next 10 years two of the biggest social reforms this country's ever seen. I think that is a very important program for the future of a country, and you know why we're in a position to do it? Because this government got the big economic calls right when it mattered for Australia.
Nobody
particularly
is
during the global. Well, you're disputing all of that, John.
No, I'm disputing that your credibility is still intact as treasurer and as the man in charge of the nation's coffers.
Well, let me. I don't know whether you ever asked that question of my predecessor, Mr. Costello, but he had revenue upgrades dramatically over and above any of the forecasts that were in his budgets. Perhaps you may have asked him those questions.
Business unanimously say that they've lost confidence in you.
Well, I don't accept that either. I actually had a good meeting about a month or two ago with five or six of the people from the Business Council and had a pretty good discussion with them about our program, our fiscal program, our fiscal strategy, our plans for infrastructure, all those sorts of things. So I'd have to say that I've been pretty puzzled by some of the commentary from Jennifer Westacott, because it didn't really accord with the conversation I had with her and all of her colleagues that night. So I think there's a partisan edge to what Ms. Westacott is doing at the moment. But anyway, that's up to the Business Council.
I'm not sure why you're singling her out. She's hardly alone in her condemnation of what you've come up with as a federal budget.
Well, I don't accept that, John. There's always disparate voices out in the business community. They're not
there are none in support.
There's no supporters of a Labor government in mass, I've noticed over the years.
But there's no Wayne Swan cheer squad out this morning, is there?
Well, you know, we've been through a pretty competitive time in politics over the last few years. I've worked pretty closely with many people in the business community. The sort of outcomes we've got here are recognised by senior business people in Australia as being outstanding. Now, whether we hear those voices in the public debate or not, it's not up to me, but I certainly talk to a lot of people who acknowledge that and understand the fact that what Australia has done over the last 5 or 6 years has been simply stunning.
How do you think history will judge your years and Julia Gillard's years in charge of the nation's levers?
Well, it's not up to me to be a commentator on what's going on. I can outline to you what I see to be as our very substantial achievements.
And a mining boom wasted, opportunities missed, a high
Aussie dollar. I don't know where you get that from, John. I don't think that has happened at all. In fact, what we have been able to do in terms of our nation-building program, investing in the NBN, bringing together now all of the school improvement program, putting together disability care, bringing in paid parental leave, tripling the tax-free threshold, having the job growth that we've had, 960,000 jobs, the money we're going to invest in the Melbourne Metro, all of those things I think are formidable achievements. And of course there'll be plenty of sceptics around, including many in the media, but we'll continue to argue our case, which I think is a good one.
Speaking of Melbourne Metro, does the Victorian government govern Victoria or does the federal government
govern
Victoria?
Well, we've got to work closely with the Victorian government and all the other state governments to put in place these transformative projects, and that's what we're doing.
Well,
Minister Albanese is talking to the Victorian government. I don't handle those negotiations. I believe that we'll find our way through all of those issues.
Why provide $3 billion for Metro Rail when the state government, which I'll remind you were elected somewhat more recently than you, have opted for the East-West Tunnel instead?
Well, the Melbourne Metro is our priority, and we'll keep talking to the Victorian government about it.
But why is it your priority is the question?
I think it's an important one. When you look at transport planning in Australia, these are the sorts of projects we need. We're looking at the Cross City Rail up in Brisbane, for example.
I'm sure you'd rather talk about Brisbane than Melbourne's transport needs, because you probably understand them better. But the Victorian government surely has a better handle on what's best for Melbourne rather than you or your colleagues either in Canberra or from Brisbane.
Well, we've got a big commitment to urban rail, and I know this is not supported by the Liberals nationally, but we are strongly supportive of the project. I'm more than happy to talk to you about it. We've also made other big investments in rail, as you know, in Melbourne as well. So we're pretty proud of what we've done in infrastructure, not just in Victoria, but right around Australia, and as part of a pretty good record.
And the reality is it's never going to get built, surely.
Well, we'll do our very best to bring this project together with the Victorian government. We'll see how we go.
Victorian government's allocated $10 million to doing some additional planning work in the foreseeable future just-released budget a week ago.
I'm sure Minister Albanese will be happy to come on your program and take you through all the work he's done with the Victorian government, which is quite substantial. And I reckon you should have a chat to him about it. But we've also done regional rail in Victoria, as you're aware. So I think we've got a pretty good record in terms of public transport, not just in Victoria, but around the country.
It just doesn't make sense, though. We've got a stark choice. The federal government backs one form of infrastructure investment. The state government rejects it and backs a completely different one.
What I say to
backed
you, John,
by
is
Tony Abbott and Joe Hockey.
There is some way to go in these discussions, and we'll continue to progress them.
Well, it leaves Victorians wondering exactly what it is. The reality with disability care and all the other projections into the longer term is that with the worsening deficit and the likelihood of Joe Hockey being in charge, that all of these sorts of future plans are pie in the sky, isn't
that? Well, the deficit isn't worsening. We will come back to surplus. I've been through all of those figures in the budget. What we put in place is a 10-year plan, not just for the school improvement program, but for disability care. And that is a very formidable achievement. It is precisely what should be done in these circumstances. If you make a structural change to spending, you have to make a structural save. We've done that in the budget. We've done the hard yards of doing that in the interest of making both of those plans sustainable for the long term. Increasing the Medicare levy is part of that. Other savings is part of that. They're all there in the budget. It's a responsible thing to do.
Joe Hockey joining us shortly, but just finally, Wayne Swan, where is there a precedent for any federal budget trying to stitch up not just the next government, but the one after as well?
That's ridiculous,
for a decade,
John,
into the future.
John, that is absolutely ridiculous. We have been working on the school improvement plans, otherwise known as Gonski, for years. Ditto with disability care. And we've gradually and methodically brought together those plans to the point that we've got all the state governments signed up to disability care, and now we've got a long-term funding source for it. That is precisely how federal government should work.
But you didn't implement the plans of your predecessors. You got elected in order to do what you promised to do.
But it's up to them to say what they'll do, John. It's not up to me to say what they'll do.
But you came into office and said, OK, all bets are off because we've been elected on our promises.
Well, can we hear
any incoming government after the September 14 election is entitled to do the same.
They are, but what they have to do is to tell the people before the election what their choice is. We've told the people what our choice is and how we'll do it, and it's up to them to tell the people what their choice is and how they'll do it.
Well, it's certainly going to be an interesting battle. The election campaign is virtually underway now. Thank you for your time this morning.
Thanks, John.